Welcome into the Fan pregame Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, the NBA draft kicks off tonight. Round one on Sportsnet 1 at 8 p.m. Raptors with picks 19 tonight and 31 tomorrow in the draft. Lots of intrigue. We're going to go through Bronny James, Zach Edey, Michael Grange. He's going to join us in 30 minutes.
Big draft week on Sportsnet. Of course, we've got the NHL draft on Friday night, the first round. So, yeah, a lot of drafting to happen here. Blue Jays looking to answer an ugly losing streak with a series victory in Boston tonight. We're lucky to have the maiden voyage for Joe Siddall on this program in about 15 minutes. So looking forward to that.
Canada soccer made some history last night. We're going to look forward to what's on the horizon, what's a potential for Canada to make it through at the Copa America. Plus, we'll do our best bets, of course.
Let's do it. Yeah. Okay. Big draft night.
I remember being drafted.
Okay. Well, we could start with that. What were your overall?
Maybe.
Who's going to be in the 4-5 position tonight? Just give us
I was ninth.
Ninth? Okay. So we'll mark that down for later. This is not the most glamorous draft. Yours maybe was a bit more
glamorous.
No, it was not glamorous. Bronny James is a big name, and Zach Edey, of course, is interesting to Canadian basketball fans. But yeah, the Atlanta Hawks are on the clock, and I don't know if there's a great choice because this has been billed as one of the lesser talented drafts in the history of the NBA. But this should be where good general managers, good executive teams, good brass make their mark, right? So it's time for Masai Ujiri and the brain trust with the Raptors to make good.
But that's what they're known for.
I don't know if they're known for that necessarily of late. It hasn't been the most dazzling draft record for the Raptors in the last few seasons. So if they can unearth something from this draft, well, maybe it'll go a long way in sort of recouping and rescuing that reputation of being a strong draft team that's able to add whenever they got the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, it's maybe not the most illustrious list of names, but I think the most important perspective if you're a Raptors fan is like it's now the Scottie Barnes building moment. There's no longer like the connective piece that used to be the way we maybe viewed what Scottie Barnes was on this team. He just signed that contract extension that's going to make him the highest paid Raptor of all time. He's clearly the franchise cornerstone that's inked in for good. And now it's what's next. There's no more Pascal. There's no more Fred. And it's clearly the Scottie Barnes show. And we've got Quickly and Barrett and Grady Dick. And so maybe Gary Trent Jr. We'll see about that. But with picks 19, traditionally, this is where the Raptors cooked. And Michael Grange, who we're going to talk to later, had a great article up on Sportsnet.ca. And he's like, you know, the 20th and 46th pick in 2015 was Wright and Powell in 20. They picked Pascal in 2016 at 27th. Mm-hmm. 23rd pick they used for OG in 2017. They got Fred as a free agent, as we know. Those were huge, big foundations for success that this team ultimately did achieve. But this draft might be harder to find those diamonds in the rough. It might be harder to find the star power a little lower on. And that's why losing that pick to San Antonio was difficult, right? In the Jakob Poeltl trade and then watching it slip away. So I don't really know what my expectations are. Is it that they find someone that's going to be like a flyer that we're like willing to build hope around? Malachi Flynn was kind of that. Remember what happened to Malachi Flynn? Didn't really work out.
I mean, maybe you're talking more like Bruno, you know, Caboclo back in the day where it's many years away from being many years away.
Right. And how many more years away can we be though when you have your superstar who was a rookie of the year that's locked in now and you want to start making progress? You know, like this is just, it's a tricky spot to be in. I'm excited to see who they end up picking. Maybe they're wearing a bedazzled red suit like last year. But it's, yeah, this is a weird draft.
It's a weird draft. And yeah, there's a bunch of different routes the Raptors could take. But one of the routes, I guess, could be the one that's familiar, which is Zach Edey. Now, we don't have to do the storybook ending, or at least the storybook sort of plot here with the Canadian, who is the most dominant force or coming off the most dominant season at the NCAA level that we've seen in some time. But there are going to be far worse avenues, I think, to take. But that's sort of the crapshoot that this draft is. But and it's not even safe because Zach Edey could be a complete flop at the NBA level.
But he's Canadian,
he also might be really good.
Yeah.
He also might be really good. And we're looking at teams like the Dallas Mavericks who just surrounded really good players with massive players, and suddenly they found something and went to an NBA Finals. Now, Edey's not the same as Derek Lively or Daniel Gafford. And he has a long way to go in terms of his development. But if you're talking about flyers and tools and just trying to develop something or take something pretty raw and turn it into a NBA talent, like the one with the most obvious raw tools is Zach Edey, given that he's an absolute monster and he can score the basketball as effectively as he does. So yeah, these are two major storylines for Canadian basketball fans tonight, what the Raptors will do and what happens with Zach Edey. And if they wound up intersecting, maybe it's the best thing for everybody.
Yeah, Zach Edey falling to the Raptors at 19. I use the word falling because most projections that we've looked at over the last couple of days has him like early teens, right?
Yeah, I think the over-under is 14 and a half.
And so it could happen, but he's very unique in his skill set. He's one of one. And so what other team isn't also viewing Zach Edey as an opportunity to take a flyer, right? Raptors with 19, it might be unlikely that they do get him. Somebody that might be around 19, maybe even into tomorrow, is Bronny James.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. Like, I don't think Bronny James is LeBron James. And I think that's easily stated. I don't want to put a limit on this kid, but I don't think he's his father. But for the content and for the hype and the hilariousness of it, what if Bronny is available to the Raptors at 19 or 31?
I hope he's going to be available at both those spots because
you want it.
No, I don't.
I don't really want it, but I kind of do.
I think the thing that's most contrived about this entire, I mean, maybe the most contrived thing in NBA draft history is this Bronny James story. If we're talking about the draft position in Vegas, he's 54 and a half. Mm-hmm. And guess who has the 55th overall pick? The Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James, who's probably going to be making that pick. So that there's no coincidence where that line is, because it almost feels like handshake agreement, or at least everyone's bending the knee to Rich Paul and LeBron James saying, do not draft him. He's going to be drafted here at 55 by the Lakers, because that's how we are going to gum up the works and manipulate this in our favor in the best way possible. And other teams talking about how, oh yeah, we love Bronny James, or the Raptors included. They're interested in Bronny James. They think he could be a hell of a prospect. It just feels to me like lip service from everyone that's just trying to justify what the Los Angeles Lakers are going to do late in one of the worst drafts in NBA history. It's kind of embarrassing. And I've talked about how I'm kind of embarrassed for Bronny James before. But yeah, we're going to finally reach the conclusion on this. And him drafted at number 55 overall by the Lakers should probably be everyone's expectations, unless the Raptors really want to piss off one of the most powerful guys in basketball, or several of the most powerful people in basketball.
What if that just brings Bronny and LeBron to Toronto? LeBronito.
I like that better than LeBronto.
Like, what about...
That's not going to happen, though.
Why? This is like... This stuff is... Nothing is out of the realm of possibility in the NBA.
Okay, this legitimately is why, this nothing. Is why it's not going to happen.
J.J. Redick just got a head coaching job. Anything is possible. Anything is possible.
Yeah. I guess unless you're right? Jason Tatum and you don't get the quote right at all. It's not going to happen because, well, I hope it's not going to happen because Bronny James doesn't want it to happen. He said it's not his dream to play with his father. It may be LeBron James's dream to have him play with him. But the only way either of those dreams, like these dreams can't not coexist. They're not mutually exclusive because no one else is going to draft Bronny James unless they think LeBron James is going to come. And LeBron James is not going to just leave LA. I don't think there's too much for him there in Los Angeles.
Well, the Suns are very interested too. Like, if you're really going to like look
into
this. I
don't believe it's true.
Bronny James is expected to, or has trained, or what is it, practice tryout? Worked out with the Lakers and the Suns, but that's it. So the Suns would make some sense. Like Bronny and LeBron could figure that out, but it would be, I think, can you imagine like the American TV networks, how much they already gave the Raptors shade when we won our championship? It was like, nobody wants to play in Toronto. Toronto this, blah, blah, blah. If the Raptors drafted Bronny, It would be hysterical the way they would have to cover this. Like, how dare they take him to Canada?
They would villainize the
Raptors.
How
dare they 100%. Do this? Like, stealing him from the comforts of his home. Taking, I think it would be amazing.
Taking LeBron James's dream
yeah,
away.
Yeah, that we would be villainized, and I'm kind of into it.
You can put on the black hat for a bit. I'm not terribly dissuaded by that.
It's not the right move for the Raptors, of course. Like let's get down to the actual needs of this team.
I mean, if they had like the 57th overall pick, sure.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to get there anyway?
No, I agree. But like they can get something good at 19 and good at 31. Masai and the draft team with the Raptors has been known, as I said, to find some value. Maybe this draft doesn't give them that opportunity. So you don't want to waste a pick. And I mentioned how important this time is with some of these young stars on this team, Barnes, Quickly, Barrett, Grady Dick, some of the younger studs, to really do the right thing. But in another fantasy world where we get to, you know, play this on a video game, it would be hilarious if Bronny was a Raptor. That's all I got to say.
It would be. It would be definitely worth the content and would carry through some conversations. But I, if I'm being honest, want to probably put an end to these conversations. I'm really relieved that it's coming to an end tonight. And again, to go to the Lakers tonight.
You know, it might not be coming to an end tonight. He might get drafted tomorrow.
That is true. Which is also on Sportsnet.
Yes. Oh, so if you want to live in the fantasy world, I got a best bet for you. Bronny to get drafted by the Raptors is 15-1.
How was that only 15-1?
I don't know. Well, they're the third or fourth favorites because there's a connection.
Because it's one team that said the word Bronny James with some sort of positivity.
So my second bet, that one's kind of silly. The next one, though, is for Bronny to get drafted under 54.5. So the 55th pick is the Lakers. This is the chaos pick. Yeah. If you think some other team is going to spoil the dream of Bronny and LeBron, then that's your best bet, and it's plus money.
Yeah, we're going head-to-head because I think this is already cooked up. I'm going over 54.5 for sure tonight.
That sucks.
But for the sake of trying to chase a long shot, Seth Davis of CBS tweeted earlier today that Stephon Castle, people are not giving enough credit for him potentially going number one. Landry Fields and the Atlanta Hawks, they're kind of in a weird position. They need some help now. They've got players who are like actively campaigning to not be selected by them, which is very strange. So I think all bets are off still with the number one pick, which makes this draft interesting, along with the Raptors and Zach Edey. So Stephon Castle, number one overall, is about 20-1. This is one guy who I actually like know something about because he played for UConn, and following them on their championship run, he was a pretty impressive player, someone who could do a lot for that UConn team. So I guess that's a bit of a biased pick as well, but Seth Davis is talking about it, and I was listening earlier today.
Okay. Those are our very insightful best bets for tonight's NBA draft. As you mentioned, it's 8 o'clock on Sportsnet 1. It'll be round one. So in all seriousness, like, are you going to the draft if you're Bronny, even though you don't think you're getting drafted, but you're Bronny and you're going to get like a lot of TV time and stuff tonight? Like, I actually don't know.
Yeah.
Usually only the first round people, but like some people sneak in there that shouldn't be there or whatever.
That's the thing. It's like he's part basketball player, part draft prospect, part like social media
legendary father,
media personality. Like, he's kind of blurring the lines between a regular draft prospect and someone who's just a celebrity. So maybe for the celebrity aspect of it, he will be there. But then you're opening yourself up to green room shots where you're waiting for something that's likely not happening anyway, which is a first round draft selection. So I would imagine he'd probably stay in the comforts of LeBron James's multiple mansions, at least whichever one he wants.
Because he's still, how many more years of college can this kid play? Like,
he's done now.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
I forgot how old he is already.
That's my biggest argument. He's only played 1 year, but he's going to the NBA because
he wants
to.
Like, how many more could he have played?
He could play three more.
Three more. Okay. Like,
and that's my biggest issue with this whole thing.
He should have skipped.
This guy is a basketball player. Like, if you enjoy playing basketball, I don't know, maybe try to earn yourself a first round draft selection by playing basketball at USC. I think he's giving up on a dream to play basketball competitively, to live out his father's dream or to placate his father. And if they play together and he sits on the bench until LeBron James retires and then he's just discarded immediately, what was this all for?
We talked about this off the air, but if Bronny and LeBron play on the same team, I've seen this on Twitter too, so I didn't come up with this idea. What is he yelling?
I definitely thought you came up with this idea.
No, I can't take credit for it. What's he yelling when he wants to get the ball?
Mm-hmm.
Dad! Bron! Daddy!
Daddy is tough. Daddy would be mocked relentlessly until the end of time by everyone.
I think it's Pop. Like, Pop, give me a ball.
I don't know if it's Pop. I think he's got to say Braun.
Braun?
Yeah.
If you're playing pick-up with CeCe, yeah, actually, well, that's way cooler.
Well, I don't call him. He came on Monday. I didn't call him Dad.
Oh, I did.
Or Daddy.
Yeah. But Brawny and Braun, I think
you got to go
Pop.
With the nickname.
I think it's Pop.
I think you got to go with the nickname.
Pop. Okay. We're going to pivot off that. We're going to talk to Michael Grange at 6:30. He's got a great article up on sportsnet.ca. We have a bunch of great articles up right now breaking down what you can find in terms of what Raptors need to build on. Grange has a great article there. There's some rumored roundup, big trades. Brawny obviously in the mix for the Raptors. A couple articles on who the Raptors should target at 19th. As well. That will be a little later on tonight. We're going to hear from Joe Siddall in a couple of minutes here before the Blue Jays and Red Sox game. But they got a win last night. I mean, I feel like that's just got to be a sigh of relief in that place. And there was a moment, too, where Vladdy dropped, like that moment with catching the ball. That team just needs to stack up good moments.
Well, the biggest sigh of relief was George Springer hitting a home run. Yesterday, by far. And we're having Big Joe time. On in a moment, and he's talking about just cheat and lift one into the outfield and earn yourself an RBI. And like it did with Vladdy there in shallow right field, it carried enough to get into the Red Sox, bullpen. So that was a big moment for George Springer. It's not enough. You said, but, you know, we got to stack moments. This Blue Jays team's got to stack positivity and positive moments in order to truly feel like things are turning. I think the same needs to be said about George Springer, but the fact that he hit one out of the yard yesterday definitely is good for the vibes of that one player in particular. And yeah, I mean, you can kind of look around a little, like Vladdy's been tearing the cover off the ball since he cut his hair. He's been pretty...
I jokingly said that. Remember when he cut his hair and Hazel put that photo out that night? I was like, "Oh, he's gonna go on a tear." I bet him for a home run that night. But honestly, since then, something's changed.
Well, what hasn't changed is the Blue Jays weren't winning baseball games at all while he's been on this tear, with the exception of last night. But Bo Bichette comes back last night. Vladdy's continuing to hit the ball. You get some good vibes from Springer. The bullpen doesn't completely throw it away. Again, we're like kind of trying to be as positive as possible, but those are really important things across the way. Like Vlad, Bo, Springer, those are the most important dominoes. And if you get those three going and you can survive those late innings with your pitching, then yeah, you're going to win some ball games and they got a chance to win a series tonight.
I just saw some breaking news. Adrian Wojnarowski saying that OG planning to sign a 5-year, $212.5 million deal to return to the Knicks. And this is huge because last night, the Knicks went all in and traded for Mikal Bridges, right? I think it was a little bit later last night. And they've got a bunch of those Villanova alums all together, Brunson, Hart, DiVincenzo, and now OG staying. Like the Knicks just got, they're not messing around. It's crazy. This was a big question when they made this trade last night, if he's going to become a free agent after this offseason. But it sounds like... by Woj here on Twitter, breaking news that he's gonna stay.
Yeah, you know the argument that like when Alabama is absolutely destroying a team, it's like how many NFL teams could Alabama beat? Well, Villanova is trying to figure that out at the NBA level now with all these Villanova players playing for the New York Knicks plus OG and Anobi. Yeah, obviously we're gonna keep a keen interest on what OG's doing, what Pascal's doing. It's the more exciting thing, I guess, as a Raptors fan, is following former Raptors who had so much success in Toronto, at least until the Raptors turn it around. But yeah, I think he can be a part of something special there, which is great. I mean, that team obviously
loved him when they got traded there too, chanting OG, and then they had him courtside, like one of his first games, the interview, and you could just hear the crowd chanting OG, OG, and he said, like, it's so amazing to feel loved here. And it hurts the heartstrings because I loved OG and I thought he was a great player for the Raptors, and now he's getting his bag, which is awesome to see. But I think that Knicks team is going to be feisty.
Yeah, and we need a challenger, frankly, in the Eastern Conference, because the Boston Celtics are set up pretty well. They're not going to lose much. And they're going to be really good still, but are they beatable? I think the answer is yes. So maybe OG and Mikal Bridges isn't quite enough, but at least these teams are trying to measure up to what the Boston Celtics are doing.
All right, let's shift over to the Blue Jays. They got a big one tonight against the Red Sox. Let's bring in Joe Siddall. Joe, thanks for jumping on. How's it going?
Well, thank you. Sorry, I'm a little bit late. We had a few little busy tidings to take care of here, but we're getting ready for a ball game, and I'm doing great. We're ready to roll.
Yeah, I think maybe the vibes might be a little bit better all around after that win last night. Like, how much do the Blue Jays just need to stack moments, whether it's a Springer home run or getting a win? Like, how these tiny little things might just help the vibe around the clubhouse and around this team in general.
Well, anytime you're going through a losing streak, and I mean, the whole season has been very disappointing, and I don't think anybody realizes that more than the guys in that clubhouse in the room. They know that they've vastly underperformed, and the losing streak just things kind of spiral when you start losing. I've always said when you're in the middle of a winning streak, it's because you're doing really all facets of the game well. You're pitching, you're hitting, you're playing great defense. You just can't do anything wrong. And losing streaks are the exact opposite, where you just can't do anything right. And then when you do have a lead, you cough it up and give it away. But last night was a nice, they've been swinging the bats better these last few days, and that's good. I think they were swinging them enough the last two nights to win a couple ball games. It didn't work out that way, but last night was certainly enough. And I think, yes, the cast of characters that contributed. I mean, Vladdy continues to do his thing, which is awesome. But most importantly, probably, is getting Bo Bichette back. And if Bo can somehow get back to being Bo, I expect it. I don't think you do what he's done in this league for the number of years he's done it for as a fluke. So if he can get hot a little bit too, but most importantly, George Springer. That home run was good to see for George. He had a couple other base hits the rest of the night as well. So you get a little bit of a vibe. And maybe if they can pull one off here tonight against Cutter Crawford in the Red Sox, you go home and, you know, the Yankees aren't the April and May Yankees right now. So you might be catching them at a good time too.
It is Yariel Rodriguez on the bump tonight for the Blue Jays. Not a triumphant return in his last outing. I guess there's still questions around the investment overall, because kind of don't know where he's going to end up. What do you think the goal should be here with Y-Rod for the remainder of the season from a clarity standpoint and, you know, a fit standpoint?
Well, I think we always knew coming into the season this would kind of be that transition year, and I think that's why he started down in the minor leagues, so that he could build up and hopefully be a starter in this rotation if that need arose in, say, end of May or first of June. But obviously things went a little bit differently, and he came up earlier than that. But then the injury sidelined him. And, you know, I think when he came back that last start, and hopefully he can and build off of that and be better this time. But he just looked like a guy that was just raw, coming off the injured list, not sharp at all. And it started okay. I mean, he had the first 1-2-3 inning. It was wonderful. But then it was after that. And Cleveland's a tough, tough lineup. But when he came back out, if you guys remember, Josh Naylor, I think it was an 11-pitch at-bat. I think he fouled like six balls off in a row before doubling. Well, after that, he walked the next three batters. And it's almost like it just spiraled out of control on him. And I've spoken about a guy like that coming from Cuba. He's 27 years old. This isn't a young kid making his major league debut. He's pretty seasoned. He's been around. So I expected him to handle that a little bit better. But as any pitcher will tell you, when you're coming back from injury, it's not easy. So hoping for better here tonight, but more importantly than anything, just being in the zone a little bit more. He was falling behind hitters. And if you fall behind these Boston hitters, it's going to be a short night for him again. So he's got to be a lot better.
Well, Joe, we were going to ask you about what it's like being a father of a Hall of Famer. Your son's on a bobblehead, but you know, we have 60 we got 60 seconds before we got to take break. So just quickly, I saw, you know, Brett having his exciting moment on the weekend, and I thought I would have to ask you and put you on the spot.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. Yeah, it was really cool. I was a little surprised when he had told me about it initially, but it's a pretty cool thing. Those summer collegiate leagues are when kids are in college playing college baseball, and they get an opportunity to play throughout the course of the summer. And it helps them be seen a little bit more, and it certainly helped him to get drafted. I know he was very grateful to the Lake Shore Chinooks. They had a wonderful year that year. They won the championship. It was really special. And he actually made the All-Star team and went to the All-Star game and into the Home Run Derby. And if you can imagine this one, I'll gloat a little bit. He beat Pete Alonso. Wow. In the Home Run Derby. He took home the trophy. So
wow.
After that, I'm not sure what went wrong, but that's his claim to fame right now.
All right.
He got it in him. Okay. That's his claim to fame. He beat Pete Alonso, so I had to share that.
I'm glad you did. We got to get our hands on one of those bobbleheads, all right? So next time, you got to drop one off at the studio. Well, Joe, we got to let you go, but have a great night tonight, and we'll be watching Blue Jays and Red Sox 7 o'clock. Thanks so much.
All right, Ailis. Justin, have a good night.
Joe Siddle. I got Jays, Red Sox, 7 o'clock on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. Fan, we'll take a quick break. We'll talk to Michael Grange on the other side.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on the Fan pregame Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet 590. The Fan a little later on Sportsnet 1. The NBA draft round 1 will kick off. We talked about it. Lots of intrigue. Bronny James, Zach Edey, and our very own Michael Grange, who joins us live. Grange, how's it going?
Going good. It's going good. How are you guys doing?
How about OG? That's like nice, exciting breaking news to bring you on. Looks like he's going to be signing what's almost a max deal after maybe thinking about leaving in free agency. Was it last night's trade that helped him stay? What's going on with OG and the Knicks?
Well, I think the Knicks were always intending to keep him. And, you know, whenever you make a trade midseason for someone like OG Anunoby, who's going into free agency, there should be, if you're doing your business right, a kind of a knowledge of what it's going to take to sign him. And especially when, you know, his agent is the son of the Knicks president. So, but, you know, when you look at the impact he had on actually winning games and, you know, the market that was out there for players of his caliber. And, you know, we said that when we would talk around the trade deadline the last 2 years is OG Anunoby is plug and play on any really good team in the NBA. Like, I think he would have started on every team in the league, including, I think, Boston. So, it was always kind of curious when people were saying, oh, he's maybe be a $30 million player or a $40 million player. I'm like, no, I mean, he's got to get something close to the max because that's how significant his impact is on good teams trying to win important games at the most important times of the year. So this isn't quite a max. It's about $35 or $40 million less than what a max, 5-year max would have been for him. But he does get a player option. There's a trade kicker there. And it's a, you know, I think it, I would really have to go through it line by line, but I think it probably makes him the highest paid role player, so-called, in the NBA. And that's because for the job he does, I mean, he might be as good as or better than anyone in the NBA at that job.
Significant impact the OG way might be in short supply here at the NBA draft tonight. It's not been billed as one with a bounty of talent, but of course, this is where GMs and executives make their money, make their mark potentially. If it isn't as simple as just taking the next up, do good executive teams have an advantage on a night like this?
I think so. You know, and let's keep in mind, right? OG Anunoby was the 23rd pick in 2017. And, you know, Pascal Siakam, who just signed a max a few days ago or is about to sign a max, he was the 27th pick. And, you know, Fred VanVleet, who's also on a max this coming season, he was undrafted. And, you know, we could go on down the list, that golden era, 2015 to 18 of the Raptors' talent acquisitions. And, you know, at that point, they clearly, if you polled the NBA, they were the best front office in the league because they were able to find, identify, and develop talent that was not in the most obvious places. So, yes, I think a draft like this, there's an opportunity to identify the player and then once identify him, develop him. And, you know, it goes without saying, although we will, I mean, I'm going to say it, you know, every draft in NBA history has produced all-stars and all NBA players, if not Hall of Famers. And so, you know, the challenge is in this scenario when it's not necessarily going to be the first, second, third, or fourth pick, you know, is where, who those players are, where they're going to fall, and then who's going to take advantage. So, you know, I think, you know, the Raptors need to be picking 19, picking 31. They need to be very strategic about this, and they need to, you know, it's probably not fair to say they got to knock one out of the park because, you know, there's just so much randomness in this process. But, you know, they are a little bit overdue for finding a player that's, you know, not in the lottery that can become part of the program for a while.
So if it was a strength before, Grange, has it become a bit of a bugaboo now? The recent draft record for the Raptors isn't so dazzling. Is there an explanation for that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair, totally fair question. I don't think so. I mean, there hasn't been any turnover in that part of the organization. So, you know, if we're going to heap them with praise when You know, they just had an incredible run. And then, you know, I don't know if we can turn around and say they don't know what they're doing all of a sudden. You know, there are circumstances, right? And you know, Malachi Flynn, that would be, again, the 29th pick overall. I guess it was a bit of a whiff. I mean, he's got some NBA attributes, but, you know, and, you know, you point to, you know, maybe some of the players that went after that, it would have been nicer to have, sure. You know, Christian Coloco looked to have some real promise as a second round pick. And of course, you know, for reasons beyond anyone's control, he's not in the league right now. He's got the blood clots issue. So, you know, and then after that, you know, those post-championship years, you're picking 59th, for example. So, you know, or don't have a pick at all. So you can't. And I think the other thing that's just a fact in this matter is the fact that, you know, with the addition of three, there's now three two-way players and then exhibit 10 contracts. There are fewer players that don't end up under some form of so-called team control that you can kind of just find. And so it's a little, I think there's more organizations doing a better job identifying talent around the fringes. So, you know, what may have been an advantage, there's maybe more, a little bit more competition in that space. All of that said, you know, it's, you know, it's not the try league, right? It's the get it done league. I think it's one of my favorite.
Josh Donaldson.
And, you know, so, you know, no front office is perfect at this time of year, but you need to be, better than the others or else, you know, someone else deserves a crack.
I still never forget when Malachi Flynn scored 50 off the bench, but you know what? He's doing his own thing now. Okay, so Raptors with the 19th overall selection tonight and, of course, 31. But let's focus on 19. Like, best case scenario, is there somebody that you've targeted in that time, in that little spot, of that package of time that might slip? I think Justin and I spent a lot of time talking about Zach Edey, and I don't know if he'll be available at 19. But if that's an opportunity, would the Raptors be interested in that one?
You know, I'm going to say no. I just think that it's you know, I have a lot of faith that Zach Edey's going to find a way to be a productive NBA player. I just don't know if drafting him in your hometown, in his hometown, and all the attention that comes with that, and especially since he's a player that is not really, you know, what we know of his skill sets as we speak aren't really consistent with how the Raptors want to play. You know, so it just adds another layer of awkwardness. So I'd be a little bit surprised, even if available, the Raptors were going to take Zach Edey. You know, and as you point out, there seems to be momentum that he's going to be going before that, before number 19. So that kind of maybe saves that awkward moment where they end up not taking him if he is available. And in terms of who they might take, look, I'm not going to pretend I have any insight other than anyone else who kind of trolls around the internet and looks at stuff. I mean, there's just, you know, the one little bit of intel I did get at one point is Yves Missi, who's, guess what, a really athletic Cameroonian big man, you know, is something that someone the Raptors have been interested in. He's in their range, so we'll see there. You know, Tristan Da Silva is a guy who's, you know, a little bit more developed. He's a sophomore. Is showing his ability to really cut off the ball and be an effective player in that kind of offense. We know the Raptors like to do that. Keyshawn George is a guy who's sort of gets keep mentions with the Raptors. He's a late bloomer who I think he started his freshman year at Miami at 6'5". He ends up 6'8" now going into the draft process. And, you know, he's a rangy guy who can shoot it. And his father's Canadian. And so, you know, there's, you know, who's got ties to the national team program. So, you know, maybe there's something there, but I mean, you know, really it's just going to come down to, this is a team that has multiple needs and you know, when you're picking 19, you don't know who's going to be there. So you better pick the best player available. I you know, Isaiah Collier is also an interesting name. He was a preseason number one Bronny James teammate at USC. Everyone seemed to have a really struggle that year on that team. But he remains a super athletic point guard who's has at times looked like he had star potential. So I think we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, it feels like a best available draft, but everyone's best available is going to be different based on the fact that there's going to be a lot of differing opinions. We're talking to Michael Grange ahead of the NBA draft tonight on Sportsnet. You covered Landry Fields as a player. He's going to be making a pick tonight, number one, with the Atlanta Hawks. What do we know about Landry Fields, the executive, and what he might be plotting tonight?
Yeah, really interesting there. I mean, he's a very new in the job, really. And, you know, it's not like the Hawks as an organization have kind of covered themselves in glory the last few years. There is a kind of a family ownership structure and a bit, you know, you do hear in the league a little bit, you're not even sure who's making the decisions in Atlanta. You know, is it Landry Fields? Is it the owner's son? Is it, who knows? So, but they've got everything riding on this and you know, it's interesting, right? When you get into a draft like this, I go back to 2007 with Toronto, 2006 with Toronto. And it was, you look at that draft now and it was a pretty weak draft. There wasn't a lot of consensus who should the top pick should be. And, you know, we all know the Raptors took Andrea Bargnani after winning the draft lottery that year. Seemed like a great thing, right, to win the draft lottery. Well, it wasn't really, because you end up picking a player who certainly, you know, there was a good reason he was a high draft pick, but, you know, he wasn't a clear-cut number one, can't miss, and yet you carry that label for the rest of your career. And anytime anyone of the 29 other players drafted in the first round do better than him, the front office kind of looks bad. So I'm sure anyone would want to have the number one pick, but it's one of those drafts, I think, where you'd maybe be better off picking two or three. Mm. And, you know, you wouldn't have the label of picking the wrong guy with the first pick. But, you know, there seems to be, you know, some enthusiasm for, you know, this French point guard, Zachary Recherchet, who's, you know, he's tall, he can shoot, defend, he's played. You know, I think one thing that's interesting is him and Alexandre Sarr, another French player, you know, different positions, are guys who've played a pretty high level of pro basketball already and have shown a certain amount of success at that level. And when you look at, you know, some of the guys who've kind of maybe outperformed a little bit their draft position, you know, Alperen Sengun is a good example, who played pro basketball as an 18-year-old at a pretty high level in Europe and was very, very good. You know, obviously, you know, Luka Doncic is the ultimate example, right? He was the best player in the best league in the world, not the NBA, and his skills seem to translate. So, so I think there's a little bit of interest there. You know, I'm pretty enthusiastic about Reed Sheppard. You know, when you look at what translates from other levels of basketball to the NBA, I'm always really interested in guys who convert field goals at a really high percentage. Like, if you can put the ball in the bucket, like that, you know, Vince Carter was a 60% field goal shooter at North Carolina, right? Like, I mean, it says a little bit something to me. But then also you look at the percentage he's shooting from three, you know, 52% since is kind of incredible. Crazy steal rates, crazy block rates for his size, decent ball handling. So it just screams a guy who knows how to play basketball, has skills to survive in the NBA, even though he's, you know, a little bit undersized. So, you know, a lot of interesting names, and, you know, we probably won't know who the right choice is at the top of this draft for a couple of years.
A lot of interesting names, including Bronny James. I wonder what you think is in store for the future for a young Bronny James.
Well, I mean, I can confirm what his agent, Rich Paul, said. You know, the Raptors were at his pro day in L.A. I think, you know, they've really liked what they saw. And, you know, it is kind of worth keeping in mind that before he had his, you know, he had a very serious cardiac episode roughly around this time last year. And, you know, prior to that, he was projected to be a pretty safe first round pick in this draft, not the greatest draft class. So, you know, that didn't go away, and he still has tremendous length for his size. He's still a fantastic athlete. Looks to me, I know his numbers haven't shown up, but he looks to me like a guy who's going to be able to shoot it. And you know he's going to understand every nuance of the NBA game and NBA lifestyle, right? Like, it's just, mm-hmm. he's kind of like those guys who grew up in a major league clubhouse. Like, nothing is going to face him. He's, everyone else is trying to figure their way around. He feels like he's at home. So, you know, I think for all those reasons, you know, he's probably got a decent chance to kind of max out his ability. Question, I guess, is what his ultimate ability is. But as it relates, say, for the Raptors at the, you know, picking 31, they better, if they were to take, you know, to use that pick on a guy like Bronny James, I don't think they are. They better be absolutely certain he's going to be a real player, because the first pick in the second round is a really valuable piece. It's in some ways more valuable than kind of the late first round picks, because you can, you know, they don't fall under an automatic salary cap structure. You know, there's mechanisms which you can, you know, there's a second round pick exception now, so you can sign him and it doesn't take away some of your, from any of your other exceptions. You can sign him for up to 4 years. And you know, I think there's probably going to be a market to trade that pick to teams that are really salary cap strapped and would rather have, you know, the top pick in the first round than say the 22nd pick in the first round. So, you know, if you're going to use that pick on Bronny James, you better have some intel on Bronny James and his ability to become a real NBA player that other people don't have. And, you know, because let's face it, if whoever picks him, he's going to be a story all season long, whether he's in the G League, whether he's struggling, whether he's out of the rotation, it's going to be an ongoing thing. And, you know, which is fine if he's going to end up eventually being a really good player. But it's, you know, probably seems like a little bit more trouble than it's worth if for a guy who's, you know, going to be a fringe NBAer.
Yeah, you better be sure he's a player, and you better be sure you're not annoying Rich Paul and LeBron James at the end of the day as well. last one for you, Grange. Boston Celtics won a championship. They just celebrated it. It wasn't the most difficult path, but they do have some record-breaking attributes to them. How are you choosing to contextualize what the Celtics did this season?
Yeah, I think they're great. You know, I think they're a really, really good team. They look like I was one of those people that thought Dallas, put it this way, you know, when Minnesota beat Denver, I was like, wow, look at this team. Look at how they defend. I mean, this is a team that could win an NBA title. And then you take Dallas, who, you know, knocked off Oklahoma City, a really, really good team. And then Dallas just kind of knocked Minnesota aside. Like, and you're seeing, and I, you know, I could kind of convince myself that they were going to make a real series and maybe test Boston. And they didn't, not even close. And so, you know, I think, you know, are they in the Chicago Bulls, 73-1 Warriors, you know, 86 Celtics category? No, not, I don't think so. But they're, you know, I think that they're a really, really good NBA champion and deserve, you know, I think the fact that they were able to roll through the East because, you know, with a certain number of players injured, well, I mean, I think they would have rolled through anyway. So especially if they didn't have injuries to their key guy, Porzingis, as well. So maybe not a historic team, but a team that, you know, is going to deserve a ton of respect. If they can come back and win a second title, you know, that will probably go a long way towards kind of securing the legacy that they've, you know, they started to build so far.
All right, Grange, this was great. You gave us a lot of your time. I appreciate it. Enjoy tonight's NBA draft kicking off and whoever the newest Raptor will be.
All right, guys, have a great evening. Take care.
Thanks so much. Mike Grange of Sportsnet. You can check out his latest article on sportsnet.ca, and the draft begins at 8 o'clock on Sportsnet 1. Raptors with the 19th pick, and then, as you mentioned, the first pick in the second round, mm-hmm. tomorrow, number 31.
Which is an interesting point. Like, you get a chance to just kind of settle, right?
It's nice.
Look over.
Think put your head on the pillow, and
yeah.
What do we want?
You can check out the entire landscape after round one, and maybe they can get themselves into a position where they're moving that pick or doing whatever they need to do with it. But an opportunity to breathe before making what Grange explains is, yeah, a really important pick for this franchise, mm-hmm. despite it being number 31 in a bad draft. Yeah, it's good that they have that little advantage built in.
I've got a lot of people in the text line agreeing with my conspiracy theory that the Raptors will get Bronny, hold him hostage. LeBron has to come, or they have to trade Bronny to the Lakers.
Okay, okay. Is that a good thing, though?
I'm just kidding.
No,
Justin.
Like, let's have the conversation. If Bronny,
we've had it enough.
Bronny James, 31, LeBron James comes. Is that a great thing for the Toronto Raptors?
Yeah,
it probably is. Yeah,
right. Nuts.
I mean, they'd be really good.
It'd be amazing to cover it too.
Yeah,
selfishly, like if we covered LeBron James and Bronny every day, it would be electric.
And it changes everything.
It changes everything, Justin.
But LeBron has had, you know, his pick of the litter here. He's got Anthony
People
Davis
come
riding
with
shotgun
LeBron
with.
Too.
He can't get past the first round of the NBA playoffs now. So I don't know.
Anyway, it's not going to happen.
But it's better than the alternative, obviously.
Yeah. Okay, so Canada soccer, big day yesterday, or big night. First ever win at Copa America versus Peru. First ever win, which is amazing. They get a point. If they get a point Saturday, which is their final game of the group stage here, they can punch their ticket to the quarters. We went through it all. Point, tie, result, they're going through. That's awesome. That game was awesome. It was great to see David get a goal, and kind of a chaotic game in a sense, like all over the map, but huge for Canada soccer. Like this could be a really, really important stretch of soccer.
Yeah. I'm glad Jonathan David got a goal. He seems to be wearing it on this station in particular. I think we're all over Jonathan David.
We are a little bit.
But it was good to see him put the ball into the back of the net. It's going to be great to see. So we talk about the one-off game. Argentina, everyone watching, the entire world. This isn't quite it next against Chile, but it is another like do or die one-off game, an opportunity to achieve something, and then you'd get another opportunity to have the world stage again. So the stakes are massive here.
You win and you're in,
and the win and you're in, unless Peru knocks out.
If you tie, then Peru, you need Peru to win against Argentina.
Right. Win and you're in, regardless. And a result likely gets you through, I'd say, 99% of the way. So that's great. We have something definitely to look forward to this weekend. That game is going to be spectacular. And frankly, I like the guts that they showed against Peru, because Peru was nasty and the weather was nasty. And Canada stuck its nose into the game and came out with a result. It was, you know, I think a lot of Canadians should take pride in that performance. The fact that they've got the win here at the Copa America, their first. And they belong in this tournament, and it's kind of awesome to see.
Okay, one last quick thing before we send it away and come back tomorrow. Brad J. Living was doing a media availability while we were beginning our show, so we got some quotes. I'm going to read it to you. Holly clipped a clip for us, but it's too long. I just have to read it. I'd caution us to not pay too much attention to some of the noise. We can't react to all of the noise. Mitch knows how I feel about him as a player, and that was on how he manages all the Mitch Marner rumors. Does that feel like run it back? Does that feel like there's something already cooked up and we just need you to stop talking about it?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything in the way of deception there, right? Mitch knows how I feel about him as a player. That could be,
we
like you as
a
player, but we don't know if we can win with you the way you are as a player. I mean, that's saying something without actually saying something, I suppose. Again, this is a really tricky situation. I think with the noise that you hear, I don't think it's completely false. I don't think there's misdirection. I think they probably would move on if they could, but I don't know if they can. I don't know if Mitch Marner's going to let them. And if you're worried about noise as it is now, wait till you hear the noise.
Noisy.
If Mitch Marner starts this season as a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's going to be real noisy.
And uncomfy.
And
distracting.
Yeah, what's paying me too much attention? Impossible not to react to the noise that is potentially to come. This is going to be a fascinating week, two weeks in the NHL, but this situation, how it plays out, is going to carry us through some shows.
I was listening to Real Kipper and Bourne just before we came in. Frank Saravelli again saying that he firmly believes the Maple Leafs are going to do everything in their power to move him.
That's Frank.
Is a steadfast take.
It's Frank. It's not fiction.
That's nice. I can't believe you did that the last week when
Frank
I wasn't here.
You missed Frank without us.
Mad about it. Okay, so NBA draft today and tomorrow. We're going to have the NHL awards tomorrow.
Yeah.
NHL draft begins Friday and Saturday. It kicks off. Sunday's the NHL Stanley Cup parade and the end of the bio window. And then Monday is free agency. So hold on to your hats.
Or butts.
Or all of them. We'll be back tomorrow. We got Blue Jays, Red Sox up on Sportsnet and an NBA draft at 8 o'clock on Sportsnet 1. Have a good night.